My first desperate cry to Jesus came in 2001, a long time ago. I was halfway around the world studying abroad in Germany. You see, I'd grown up going to church. I was super involved. I was in choir, taught vacation Bible school and Sunday school. I went to confirmation class. I was one of those kids who actually took it really serious, like didn't want to cheat, wanted to actually learn. I genuinely tried to be a good person. I believed in God. I prayed for my family and friends before I went to sleep every night. And I tried to read my Bible. When I got to college, if you'd look at me from the outside, you'd have thought that my life looked great. I was on the career path that I had chosen. I had just gotten into a sorority that I wanted to get into. I had pretty good friends, and I even got to study abroad. And I was traveling all over Europe. You would think I was living my best life. Yet something was deeply, deeply wrong inside. I remember finding myself being so angry with God, so dissatisfied with life, honestly, most of all, with myself. I couldn't figure out why. When everything seemed fine on the outside, my soul felt empty and restless. And that night, I broke. I cried. I yelled. I told God I was tired of trying to be good and feeling like I was crying out to him and he wasn't there. And I wanted to know if he even cared, if he even heard me, if I even mattered. That was the first time I remember not just praying, but questioning whether God was actually listening to me. And I'm not sure if any of your prayers have ever been that dramatic, and that's okay. I don't think God hears those loud cries more than quiet ones. But that moment marked something for me. It was the first time prayer stopped being religious words and became relational honesty. And so tonight I'm going to kick off our three-week series on spiritual disciplines. And that might sound a little weird to you if you've never heard of a spiritual discipline, but it just means that God has given us ways to experience his grace and influence in our lives. So tonight I'm going to talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And we're going to talk about what it is, why it matters, that it's learned and modeled, and hoping that as you walk out of this room tonight, prayer is more than a list of things you pray for other people, but that you begin seeing prayer as almost a walkie-talkie to God. So if we were honest, most of us would probably say we don't pray enough, that we should pray more. And yet, many of us don't. We're busy, we're distracted, we're tired, we're unsure of what to say. Sometimes we're even bored, discouraged, and sometimes just feeling ashamed can keep us from going to him. But in any relationship, when communication decreases, intimacy will always fade. Distance will always grow, misunderstandings grow, and desire weakens. And the same thing happens in our relationship with God. We can believe in him, we can serve him, we can go to Bible studies, we can do all the right things, yet still slowly drift away from being with him. Prayer, it's not like a bonus feature that we get as Christians, like, oh yeah, this is great, I can just pray if I want to. It is the lifeline of our relationship. And I wonder what would happen this semester if prayer became alive for all of us. Not forced, not formal, but real. What if we actually expected God to meet us? To hear us? What if we prayed with faith that he changes people, direction, hearts, and even this community? When I was studying abroad, I went to London, and I remember walking past Buckingham Palace, and there's these massive, beautiful gates. There were guards, you know, in their like little uniforms. And but there was a clear line of who could enter and who could not. Like when I walked past, those gates did not open for me. And I remember thinking how absurd it would be for someone like me to just be able to walk in, to sit down and have tea and crumpets with the queen. It was the queen at the time. And tell her what I was worried about, ask her for help, expect compassion from her. Yet scripture tells us something far more shocking. I'm going to read this. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." How shocking is that? That we are called to come to the throne of God. Through Jesus, we have access to the King of the universe. Prayer is not working your way toward God. Prayer is responding to a God who has already come near. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the barrier is gone. We don't approach God as outsiders. We come as sons and daughters. Prayer is simply talking and listening in the presence of God. It's asking Him. It's thinking. It's confessing. Sometimes it's just sitting quietly. It's letting His Spirit speak through Scripture to convict and comfort. Prayer is fellowship. You're not talking to the ear or air, even though sometimes I know it feels like it. You're communing with the God who spoke galaxies into existence and knows the number of hairs on your head. And in prayer, something happens in us. We slowly begin to desire what He desires. We care about what He cares about, and we begin to see our sin differently. We see people differently. We can even see ourselves differently. Prayer is not primarily about getting answers. It's about being formed. And so that kind of brings me to my first point, is prayer is modeled. And if prayer was optional, I don't think Jesus would have prayed as much as He did. So this is just an example, Matthew 14:23. After He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. And He prayed this, or this happened before He walked on the water with Peter. And we see over and over in the Gospels that we see Him withdrawing to these lonely places. In the early morning, or when He's surrounded by crowds, He pulls away to be with His Father. And on the night before the cross, we see that Jesus didn't just gather strategies. What did He do? He prayed. In the Old Testament, we see Moses speaks with God when he doesn't know what to do. Exodus 33:12-15, Moses says, "If I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you." David, in the Old Testament, so many of the Psalms are David's prayers, and he's pouring out joy and fear, anger and worship. There's so many emotions. They're just his raw prayers to God. And we see that David prays in Psalm 51 that he prays for a clean heart and forgiveness after he messed up pretty bad, like twice. He's acknowledging his sin. Paul's letters in the New Testament, if you would open up the New Testament, chances are you'd probably jump into one of Paul's letters, and you see that they're just filled with prayer. And I think what's so striking is that he's not just praying about circumstances. Put me in a new circumstance. Make this easy. I don't know, like, help me get through this. But he's praying for hearts. He's praying for love and for wisdom, for spiritual strength, and for intimacy with God. These are the depths of his soul crying out and praying for himself and praying for others. And we see that so many believers who have walked before us have been grounded in prayer. They have been faithful, not because they were impressive and so holy, but because they were dependent. Prayer has always been the place where where God's people learn to live with God. And Scripture doesn't command prayer because God is needy, but guess what? Because we are. We are needy. We need to pray. The second point is that prayer is learned. And we see this in Matthew 6:9, says, "This then is how you should pray." So Jesus is saying, hey, disciples, you might think that you're more holier than you are. I'm going to tell you how you should pray. They even had to learn. Prayer is not a personality trait. I think sometimes we can get in our minds of like, oh, that person is so good on prayer. They should just be the ones praying. But it's about practiced relationship. Many of us live in quiet shame about prayer. We think I'm bad, I get distracted, I don't pray long enough, I don't feel very spiritual. And then we either force ourselves or like, we're gonna pray, we're gonna do this. But then we quit or wait until there's, you know, a test coming up or someone's sick to actually pray. But you wouldn't expect someone who jogs occasionally to make the Olympic track team, right? So prayer grows the same way relationships grow. Small moments, repeated often over time. You start short, start honest, and be consistent. Jesus gave his disciples a simple prayer, and it wasn't to impress them, but it was to form them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, if you don't know what to pray, this is a great place to start. Fluency comes from faithfulness. And then the last point is that prayer is a Christian's responsibility. And so you see, I mean, throughout Scripture, you can find where it's talking about prayer. Praying for one another, pray without ceasing, pray with belief, pray according to his will. If you are a follower of Jesus, prayer is not something others can do for you. No one else can talk to God on your behalf the way that you can. So prayer is part of what it means to live awake to God. And like any responsibility, prayer often begins with obedience before desire. There are days you don't feel like praying, just like there's days you don't feel like going to class or getting out of your PJ pants or getting out of bed or showering. But neglect always can produce something unhealthy. We don't pray to earn access to God. We pray because we already have it. God is not disappointed when you come. Even if you haven't prayed for weeks or days, God delights that you come. And so a little bit of application. I feel like prayer always has to come with application. My own rhythm is pretty simple. Scripture, journaling, and praying. And it usually takes about 30 minutes. On most days. And I even write out my prayers. I have a prayer list that I pray for people every day, and then I have another list of prayers that I pray like maybe a few times a week. And it's just, I just pull it out and I just pray through it. It doesn't have to be anything that's magical or complicated. And so I'm sure many of you have probably heard Acts. It's a helpful guide that many people use when it comes to prayer. And it's adoration, and it's just adoring God, worshiping him, like identifying what makes him so great. And then confession is actually getting to the nitty-gritty of your own personal life, like confessing your sin, the things that have come up that you've realized aren't great, that you know God didn't call you to do. Take that to him, confess that, and ask for forgiveness. Thanksgiving, remembering to be thankful finding the things to be thankful for, not just the things that you feel like are missing in your life, but the things that you're actually grateful for. Good friends, parents, even if it's as simple as food or being able to be here at Ohio University. And then supplication is where you pray for other people, pray for yourself. And I think here's a bigger invitation. What if this semester we became more of a praying community? Not just individuals who pray when life gets when life falls apart, or when there's a hard test coming up, or when someone's grandma or grandpa are sick, but people who regularly turn to God. And so, what if we ask God, who wants to do the? What if we ask God what He wants to do in and through us this semester? What if we ask God every day to help us desire the things that He desires? If we ask Him to make a specific sin not desirable, what if we started praying for our campus, our classmates, our roommates, our friends, to ask God who we could share the gospel with, who we could have that spiritual conversation with? And we can do this as we walk to class, driving, as we're even doing the dishes. I remember that being a big part of when I started having kids and life felt so crazy and out of control and I had no time. I would just pray while I was doing the dishes. In a moment, I want to give everyone just a few minutes to think through one thing you want to pray for and trust God for this semester. Something real, something specific. I want you to write it down and put it somewhere where you'll see it. And pray over it daily. I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Okay. Because when I cried out years ago, God didn't fix everything in that moment. It wasn't instant, but He met me. He pursued me. And He sent somebody the following fall to share the gospel with me. And I began to experience peace and joy and love that didn't depend on my circumstances. And that didn't honestly make any sense. Not much had changed between the spring of my sophomore year to the fall of my junior year. God doesn't want anything from you. He just wants you as you are. Let's be people who talk with Him, listen to Him, turn to Him, and believe His word. And let's see what He does. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, You are the God who has created us, who brought us here, who knows all things, and we get to come boldly into Your throne room and lay requests before You, and You delight in that. You delight when we turn to You, and I pray for all of us that our hearts would turn more quickly to You and not other people and getting affirmation from them, but God, we would draw even closer to You in a way that feels real and authentic and is where we begin to be transformed more into Christ's image. We pray all of these things in Your name. Amen.